Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who was first in my life, and to God that woke us up this morning, and to the God that will put us to sleep tonight on this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start to finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and the Omega. I believe the Lord has sent me to the kingdom for such a time as this, to minister to generations past, present, and future. I honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis, to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. I establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, and junior trustees, and I train them in the fear of the Lord and treat them like the church of today and tomorrow, because I believe when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship from time to time without any music, even though I have one of the baddest musicians in the whole wide world, so that our church will never get caught up with the message and miss the message live. Talk the radio. Y'all ready to have some church? For those of you that bought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal and the robbers can't take and the police can't arrest, and I don't care where you live. Somebody said, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just for a little while early this morning to Psalm 129. Psalm 129. I will be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Psalm 129. If you're with me, somebody say amen. If you need more time, somebody say mercy. Mercy is a good thing. And the word of the Lord reads it thus. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth. Let Israel say, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth. But they have not gained the victory over me. The plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. That's enough. Let the redeem of the Lord say amen. Verse number one declares, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth. Let Israel say it again, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth. The writer declares he has been struggling a long time, and he has been much oppressed. But he has not been conquered. Somebody said conquered. I want to take a strange turn to this text and use for subject this morning. I refuse to be a victim. Look at somebody. I know it's early, and if you don't have anyone to look at yourself in the mirror and repeat after me. I refuse to be a victim. I'm feeling mighty churchy this morning. I refuse to be a victim. My dear brothers and my sisters, as we begin to embark upon the dissection of this text called I Refuse to Be a Victim, I'm convinced today that there is a mindset that the enemy is using to overtake our society and even affect the mind of the body of Christ. The things that I think that we need to deal with on a serious note early this morning is the whole attitude of victimization. The attitude of feeling victimized. The attitude of feeling I'm always the one that's being overcome. And I know this is stressful and strange and hard to talk about early this morning from the pulpit. However, believe it or not, I believe if it was talked about a long time ago from the pulpit, many of you would have never had to see a psychiatrist. Somebody talk back to me. I'm coming after you this morning. Well, you see, I believe you will never see the victory in your life until we get out of that victimized mindset. I need somebody to pray for me this morning. And so, what is this attitude of victimization? It is an attitude where you're seeing yourself always the victim. You always injured. You always the one that was harmed. And then you justify your actions based on the harm received. I know what I'm talking about. And so you're a mean, mean person because everybody in the world has dogged you, so you say. And so you have a bad attitude because everybody in the world has broken your heart, so you say. You're a nasty person because everything has not worked out in your life. So you say. You do bad stuff to people because you say people have done bad stuff to you. Somebody said preach. And what I want to help you with early this morning is because it's that kind of attitude and victimization that overcomes us to the place that we never get to the next level that God is calling us to. Now, if you would be honest this morning and check the file cabinet of your memory, I don't care how much you have been hurt in life, you are not the only one in life that's been hurt. Somebody say amen right there. And if all of us could testify right now, all of us could take time to talk about our experiences of how we have been hurt, we've been dogged, we've been mistreated, and we have been done wrong. Somebody say amen. And so, is this victimization and this attitude like everybody is wrong and you're the only one right? Or this attitude that you're the only target, that everybody is coming after you? Is this mindset that everybody is out to get you? Or the attitude where you justify your actions based on how you perceive other folks to treat you? It's the kind of attitude that throws a pity party all the time. Somebody say pity party. And the reason you justify your pity is because of the stuff that you say you've been through. And so you understand what I'm trying to say this morning, that the whole power of the victimization attitude is that your mind begins to create a situation where now you are the victim in everything. Somebody gonna pray for me. I know, you know what I'm talking about, because we run into people all the time that has a sad story, and a sad song. And they have a Charlie Brown Christianity that everybody is always picking on me. I'm coming after you this morning, And when they look at life, they don't look at it by faith and what it is that God has declared for them. But they look at it as a victim that is looking for pity. Or watch this. The power of a victim is a victim doesn't look to overcome. A victim looks to stay where they are and justify why they are where they are. Instead of saying, I'm only here for a season and I've got to get up from here from where I am so I can get to where God wants me to be. And really, really the thing that I'm going through is not meant to keep me where I am, but it's meant to become power so I can get to the next. I got to mess with somebody this morning. I wasn't going to do it, but I've got to do it. Understand that even the pain that you've gone through, and the pain that you dealt with the purpose of the pain. I stopped by to tell you earlier this morning that God has allowed not to keep you where you were, but the purpose of the pain is to prepare you for the next level of joy that God has for you. Everything that you've gone through thus far and every pain that you have felt and every heartache that you had to carry, God allowed it to come into your life to prepare you for the next level of glory that he was trying to reveal in you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Just think about it, my brothers and my sisters, for those of you that are overcomers, if there wasn't some things that you went through in pain, you would have never been able to declare and testify like this. Let me make it personal this morning. I want to testify. It was in pain that I learned about God. It was in pain that I learned how to preserve. It was in pain that I learned to endure. It was in pain that I learned how to pray. And it was in pain that I learned how to give God praise all by myself. It was in pain that I learned that he may not come when I want him, but when I thought he should be there, but he's always, good God Almighty, on time. Somebody say pain. I had to have some pain because if I didn't have it, I wouldn't know what God could do. I better get out of this place this morning, look at somebody and tell them for me, I refuse to be a victim. And the whole power of the pain is what you're going to do with the pain. And God has never meant for pain to keep you down. God has meant for pain to prepare you, and God has desired pain to take you to another place. Oh, yes, he did. You got hurt, but the hurt was to motivate your excelling. It was that hurt that was supposed to motivate your ministry. I don't know about you preachers that are listening to me early this morning, but I found my greatest sermons was when I was hurt the most. Because that's when I needed to lean on God more than I never needed him before. My greatest sermons came out when I was as mad as I don't know what, but I stood fast, and I just said, God, have thine own way, and he did just that. If you tell the truth, up in the air early this morning, the greatest shouts was when we was cut the worst, and you had nobody but the Lord on your side. It was out of that pain that you found out that you knew God in a whole different way, because if you had not gone through that pain, you would have not gone through the secret places with God. But the problem with the victim is this, that the victim never seeks to use the power of their pain to propel them. Instead, they seek justifying where pain came from and the reason why it's there and create an environment of pity. Oh, you all know the story. Why it's always got to be me. You know the story. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Oh, you know the story. I guess things just ain't going to never get any better. It's going to always be like this. Come on now. You know the story. You know the story. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants to be bothered with me. Well, I stopped by to tell you earlier this morning, one of the reasons nobody wants to be bothered with you is because they don't want to be around you because you never have nothing good to say. Or somebody say, preach. You got to learn how to turn your pain around. As a matter of fact, some folks are tired of you complaining all the time. Listen here, baby, I've learned. I've had some good days and I've had some bad days, but all of my good days outweigh my bad days, and I made up my mind that I won't complain. I found out. I found out whatever you think, that's what will manifest in your life. Some of y'all living in hell right now, and it's not because God has desired it. It's because that's the way you think. Your faith keeps you in pity because of the way you think. Your faith keeps you in pain because of the way you think. But if you will make up in your mind early this morning to get out of your pity party and say to yourself, I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I declare to you early this morning, God will open doors that you've never seen open before. Are you waiting on God to change your situation? And God is waiting on you to change your mind. Understand, the word says that whatever you're going through, it is common to man. Somebody say common. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, you will find out, though it's common to man, and ultimately, my brothers and my sisters, whatever you're going through is not more than you can bear. And the word escape. The word escape means in the Greek a way to survive. And the power of the blessing of what God will do for you, you got to get ready for the next trial. But the power, somebody say power. The power of God taking you through is your ability to shout through what you're going through. I want to encourage somebody this morning. Don't wait to get out to shout. Start shouting through your pain right now. Some folks say, what are you going to church so much for when you're going through? Why do you keep on walking in the door every time the door opens up and giving your money and wasting your time and you're still going through? And I stop by to tell somebody every time you step into the house of God, he's giving you just enough to make it to the next time. He gave me just enough to get through what I got to deal with. God gave me just enough to get over the hump because I refuse to throw a pity party and I refuse to be a victim anymore. Amen. And when you're in a pity party, your actions are never positive because you can't generate positivity out of pity. because you create your own pity party out of pity, or whatever the tongue twister y'all pray for me in order for the party to get started. It's got to have pity as its primary guest. Am I right about it? Anytime you take pity out of the party, then it's no party. Look at somebody and tell them, for me, I refuse to be a victim. And until you do that, you will never get out of being victimized. Because now you will look at your situations to become not only the victim, but the victor. Amen. That's why some women, they repeat in negative words in this thought. They say that all the men are dogs. Well, since you keep getting dogs, there must be something wrong with your mentality. Some of the brothers say there's no good women out there anymore, and that's a problem and a wrong attitude, because you keep getting the wrong women, there may be a problem with your mentality. I'm not looking for no friends today. I'm hitting everything that's moving, because when you get out of that victimization attitude, then the enemy has your mind, and then who that controls your mind will control you, control your thinking, control your habits. Come on, somebody. Everything you see, you're victimized. You go through as fault. Everybody is dogging you. You mad with God. You mad with the world. You mad with everything you come in contact with, the goldfish, the dog, the cat, the air, the birds that fly in it, everything, and blame everybody else but you. Some of y'all playing the blame game right now, and begin to blame everybody else when they ought to be taking responsibility for themselves. I tell you this morning, somebody ought to just point their finger to themselves and say, it's me, oh Lord, and I'm standing in the need of prayer. I stopped by this morning to encourage somebody that's listening to let you know that you don't have to be the victim anymore. Because God has made a way of escape for you. For the Bible says in the book, I've been dogged all my life. I've been dogged all my life. I've been talked about. I've been lied on. And I've been criticized. But in Psalm number 129, the Song of Degrees, there you will find and learn to talk to yourself and tell yourself, I refuse to be a victim. I don't care how bad folks talk about you. I don't care how folks mistreat you. I just refuse to be a victim. I made up my mind. It's the Holy Ghost in Psalm 129 that the writer of the text says that they have greatly oppressed me. Not just yesterday and not just last week, but now we're old and they used to be young from the youth. And I've been oppressed. Some of you can go back in your file cabinet of your memory and share some of your experiences, how you've been dogged by your parents, how you've been dogged by your loved ones. But I to tell you, God has a plan for your life, and that plan is for you to prosper and not fail. Let's look at the text as I close the writer of the text is associated with the time of Hezekiah. And this is not the song from David, the writer. But you all remember what happened in the Bible. But the Bible says the children of Israel was about to be overtaken by a king. And the Bible says that the king wrote a letter and gave it to King Hezekiah. And the king took the letter and laid it at the altar and said, God, we're outnumbered. He said, God, I need you. I need to talk to you right now. I need you to tell me what to do. But the Lord, if you will, because I know that you are able, notice he is overtaken, and notice he is oppressed, and notice his back is against the wall. But notice what he writes to the children of Israel. He says, we are greatly oppressed from our youth. And then he says it again, let Israel say it again. Notice he says, it says it twice. For we are greatly oppressed. He wants to reinforce that I understand what I'm going through, but I don't understand this heavy oppression. Look at the text, the greatly oppressed from my youth. But, somebody say but. He says but. But, that's a divine conjunction. It takes places more emphasis on which comes after than that which comes before it. You've been dogged, but. You've been hurt, but. You've been harmed, but. You've been put down, but. You've been criticized, but. You've been abused, but. You've been misused, but. You've been talked about, but. The devil tried to kill you, but you're still holding on. And the text says that his righteousness, God's righteousness, and what that means is that he's right all the time, which means that whatever I've gone through is good. and it still won't be right. But I heard Paul say these words, all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and that are called to his purpose. I refuse to be a victim, and there's a reason for everything that I've been through in this life. For if it had not been for God on my side, I wouldn't be where I am today. After all I've been through, I had to cry, but I'm still here. I had to do without, but I'm still here. I had to do a little this and a little that, but I've learned that our God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly of all we can ever ask for, even think. Somebody say, I refuse to be a victim. Maybe there's one here today that don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. Then I introduce to some to present to others, his name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. And all you got to do is just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins and all of my secret sins. Wash me in your blood and save my soul. If you meant what you said, God surely will do what you asked him to do in your stead. Now, you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to find a church that's not only preaching but practicing the word of God. And then you need to be on time. Go to church on Sundays. Go to Bible study, go to Sunday school, be there so your soul can get fed the word of God that you may grow thereby. As you grow in the grace of the Lord, you'll find out more and more the plan of God for your life, and what a wonderful life. I stop by to tell you, ain't nothing wrong with you. All you need is a few moments with the preacher, and may the Lord God that I serve bless you real good.